We had an incredible thing today. Eugene was busy up in the at the containers. He's walking back, and there was a lady crying in the courtyard. Yeah, and he said, "Are you all right?" And she said, "No, I'm not all right. My marriage is not in a good place." And he said, "Why are you here?" She said, "Because you guys preach when we're in trouble, we must run to the church."
Oh, wow.
So she said, "I just ran to the church."
Wow.
I mean, how amazing is that?
Wow.
Eh? So Eugene and Wendy have got a meeting with her and her husband in the next couple of days. She set up 4 meetings. He's told her that he doesn't love her. And so God is doing remarkable things. I had a man in my office yesterday who was on the way to the lawyers to serve divorce papers of his wife. He was at church on Sunday morning, and Sunday night he had a knife at his wife's throat, choking her and grabbing her. And he doesn't know the Bible. He's been here for quite a while now. He doesn't know the Bible. So I took him to Matthew 18 and I said, "This is what happens when a guy doesn't forgive the person who sinned against him." It says he grabs him and he chokes him.
Sure.
And he looked at it and he said, "That's what I did on Sunday night." I said, "I know that."
Wow.
And I met with them yesterday, husband and wife, and they SMS'd us very late last night to say they're going to give it another chance.
Come on.
So let's go. The building project is actually incidental. It's happening, but inside are these amazing things that are taking place. We got a letter today from a lady who she doesn't know how to give to the building project. She said when that lady gave her sovereign coin from her wedding day, she said, "Well, what can I give to the Bride of Christ?" And she gave up her gym contract, which is 375 rand a month. And she gave it up, and she said, "I'm going to give that for 18 months to the building project." All the only free money she had. And the gym called her and said they'll give her 25%. She can have her same contract for 25% if she just comes back, everything included. So she's gone back to gym. She said, "To build my body and with the other 75%, I'll build the church body." So, yeah, so God is doing amazing things that people are sacrificing. Really, really appreciate it. I don't know how your businesses are going, but I want to tell you, our business in the month of May, hallelujah, had its worst month in 47 years.
Wow.
Amen, hallelujah. Yeah. Praise God. Must be we're doing something right, but it's tough out there.
Yeah.
It really is tough out there. And so we know trading is tough, but God is doing a miraculous thing. We are well on our way to 24 million rand in the bank account, which we can thank God for. Praise God. If I pray, I think people are doing remarkably well. I still think there are many people holding back. And I feel that in my heart. I think there are bystanders who act like business people who stand back and think, "Oh, we'll just watch and see what's going on." This project is wholehearted for 18 months. It's hard to obey God for a long time. It's easier to obey God for a short time. It's hard to pay a price for a long time. It's easier to obey God for a short time. And I know the challenges. I'll share my own story. We're driving to church on Sunday. My wife's car needed petrol, and we don't have resources. Our resources are in the building fund, and so we literally stopped and we prayed for an amount of money to fill her car up with petrol. I preached. I was kind of looking, everybody coming towards me, thinking, "Are you God's gift to me?" And God did not use any of you. And then I had an elders meeting. I was waiting for the spiritual people. And he never used them either. And then I flew to Durban and I preached at a city celebration with 9 or 10 churches together. And a guy that I used to know 25 years ago, he said, "I was praying for you this afternoon and I felt I must give you this amount of money." The same amount of money my wife asked for on Sunday morning. So we have not. I haven't seen those kind of miracles for a long time. So you have to go into something like this to see the miracles. Don't feel sorry. Everybody's got their own journey. God is working in different ways. One guy wanted to give his car away. We felt it wasn't the right idea. Somebody has given him a home for free for 2 years, and so that he can use his home to sow into the building fund. So just be obedient to God.
That's
all we ask for. Just ask God your story. One guy wanted to go and work overseas and earn some money, and I said, "I really believe it would be detrimental to your family. I'd much rather you spend time with your family and just give what you can." Because I think it would violate the values of family if you went and worked overseas with people. So we don't have to twist God's arm. We don't have to go into human effort or person, you know, that sort of perspiration. We just have to trust God. Live in the Spirit, walk by the Spirit. And if your 10 rand is your 10 rand, then you just give it with faith and let God do the balancing of the books. Amen. That way we keep everybody absolutely free. But I want to thank you for the example that you're setting. I just five words came to me. If I prophesied to this meeting tonight, if I stood up and I was going to preach on Romans 12, if I stood up and I prophesied to this group of people, I would prophesy five things. Have you got them, Ricky? No. I prophesy these five things: a pen, a microphone, a guitar, a sword, and a hand. I would prophesy that into the leadership of this church. And the pen comes from Habakkuk chapter 2. It says, write down the revelation and make it plain for everybody to see. Run with the revelation. And I think what we're going to do now, we're just starting with a process with the elders, is that we've lived verbally for a long time, and our church is too big to live verbally now. We've got to start writing some things down. The things that are happening in your group, don't just share them word of mouth. Write them down. Send them in so that we can keep a record of them. There's an author. She writes everything down. You know, once it's written, you can never ever erase it. There was a man who spoke to me on Sunday morning. I walked up to him. He's like quite hanging around the bench. I said, I'm Rory. He said, I'm Mark. I said, Mark, what's your story? He said, 133 days ago, today, you called drunk people up to the front. And I came to the front, and he said, I don't know who it was, but somebody came up behind me, laid their hands upon me, and God touched me, and I haven't had a drink for 133 days.
Wow.
Beautiful.
Wow.
I've got to write it down. I've got to put it on the wall. So we're taking up offerings for buildings, but God is busy setting alcoholics free.
Amen.
And so we have this group of people, and we have to make sure, friends, the part of this pen is we have to make sure we stay true to the revelation that God gave to us. We've got a lot of people from other churches, Leaven of Word, Choose Life, they're coming in now. We can't chase people away, but we have to make sure we stay true to the revelation God gave us, not the revelation God gave them. And so Stephen and Andy and a group of guys and some girls are going to get together. We're going to put a discipleship course together, a 10-week course, which we're trusting the next 400 people in our church, not the leaders, the next 400 people over the next year will go through that course while we're in the tent, so that when we move into the building, we've got 500 or 600 people that have written on their hearts the mandate that God has called us to. Not just I heard from. Because I was in the original meeting when God said, where are you going to go? And Nancy Bell said, Pretoria. So I know the radicalness of a surfer leaving Pretoria. People join you and they kind of join you halfway and say, no, this is what you're joining. You're joining a radical group of people who are committed to each other to build a community. These are our values. This is what we believe in. This is where we're going. This is our nations that we're going to touch. We believe in church planting. And they'll be able to see in a document form so that they know what they're joining. Yeah. And before they actually join membership, it will be written down inside of their hearts. Amen? So I think what is happening, just write it down, send it in. It doesn't take a long time. But we have to document the processes of God. Because there are prophecies that are being fulfilled now which we don't even remember because we never kept a record of them. And so I just felt God say, write it down. Write it down. I don't know what that scripture was, so we said you read. Is it Psalm 42? Psalm
32.
Write it down. Psalms of deliverance. Write it down. What is God saying to us? What did Andrew say? We've heard 7, 8, 10 scriptures today. We need to write it down so we can go before God. Say we had a leaders meeting. In that leaders meeting, 15 scriptures came forward. These are the scriptures. We go to war on those scriptures. Write it down. When you wake, put a pen and a piece of paper next to your bed. If you have a dream, wake up and write it down. Because God is busy talking. Amen? Just write it down. Write it down. Write it down. I saw a man's life change on Matthew 18 yesterday. I literally watched him. He said, I am the offended. She is the offender. And I said, you are the offender against the mighty God. Millions of dollars. And your wife has offended you just a few dollars. And it got into his heart. I wrote an article. A little boy came here on Sunday night 3 or 4 weeks ago. Some of you know the story. Yeah, right there. He was under the Spirit of God. He was 5 years old.
Yes.
He went home and he said to his parents, I'm taking my piggy bank and we're going back to church and I'm giving my piggy bank to Rory. And when he came there in Afrikaans, he said, when Rory, here's my piggy bank. He said, die Here het vir my gesê, my kinders moet hom in hierdie kerk dien. My children must serve God in this church. And God said, I must give everything. So I've written an article, Private Banks and Piggy Banks. And I pray that this church will constantly build with private banks and piggy banks. We will see Lonnie men putting in millions. and we'll see children putting in
their
helmet masks. Amen?
Amen.
Right, the second thing is a microphone. We need to prophesy.
Yes.
We need to prophesy to dry bones. We need to prophesy to marriages. And I'll tell you where this comes from, friends. There are two brothers in this church that live in Babsfontein. Babsfontein comes from Baptismo Fontaine. It was the fountain where people got baptized.
Wow.
And on their farm is one of those fountains. And because of that, a bottling company started, a massive bottling company. Peter took me to the brothers. They started this 5,000 square meter bottling company with a 100 million rand bottling plant. Making cold drinks. A farmer started it. I think he just got a vision to start this thing. So they've got this bottling plant, all works with air. It's like shoo, 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 in the middle of Babsfontein. And then the borehole, this Babsfontein, this water fountain dried up. And the pump burnt out, and the manager came to them and said, the ground is dry. So they put another borehole in there, another pump, and it also burnt out because the borehole pump is kept cool by the water. And so the two brothers and two sisters, Peter, am I right? The two brothers and the two sisters got around this borehole, and for 3 hours, they prophesied over it. And this is the exact words. He says, and Roni, tu hoor ek die water borrel. Tu hoor ek die water borrel. And I skip that out. 19 months ago, it's never run dry. And I think, friends, we have got to prophesy over the dry wells of Pretoria, over the dry wells of the people in your home. We've got to prophesy. And sometimes it's going to take 3 hours of prophesying. We're going to speak loudly. We're going to take the word of God. We're going to speak it to and tot die water borrel.
Amen.
Amen. And this business, the manager got saved because of that borehole that got unblocked. How much more if we unblock the well of a man or woman called by God when that water spurts forth?
Amen?
The third thing, friends, is a guitar. Ashley Bell, at the city celebration, you know, the guy who started this church with his wife, Nadine,
he just walked up to me and he said, your son has got the spirit of David upon him, my little boy, James. He said, he's got the spirit of David upon him and he needs to worship. So it's awesome to say, I said, thanks, that's awesome. He said, I'm going to buy him a guitar. And he arrived here last week with a brand new Taylor guitar, the best guitar you can get. And I tell you, he put it into James's hands, he strummed it all night until his fingers were raw. And when he woke up in the morning, he was playing his guitar. He cannot put the guitar down. And as you know, I felt God say, there is a new wave of worship that's going to come through the life of this church. Invest in instruments. Invest in young people and unblock the ears so that new songs can be written from this place. It's fine for Bethel to be writing songs. It's fine for the Belonging Company to be writing songs. But I feel from this church we need to be writing songs. We should be writing songs that will change the world. We've got musicians that are sitting inside here that need to change the world. And son, my own son, I prophesy over you. You'll write songs that will change the world. Amen. And you will write songs that will change the world.
Come on.
Pick up your instruments, gentlemen. Some of you haven't played drums, trumpet, harmonium, saxophones, violins. You haven't played for a long time. You've got a gift on your life, an absolute gift. And that gift has got an ability to break open people's lives. You've got a prophetic gift on your life just to play with nobody else playing, to declare the hymns and the tunes of heaven over people's lives. There is going to be, it's like you're dressed like a sheep, but you roar like a lion. God says you're gentle by appearance, but you're wild inside. Mighty God. Your fingers are the fingers of a skilled musician to set God's people free.
Amen.
I feel like this. Deepen your lungs and strengthen your fingers. Deepen your lungs and strengthen your fingers. Because they're going to be songs of deliverance.
Amen.
They're going to come over the life of this church. The sword. George Abers, I don't know if you have seen his pictures, but he was driving up a very straight road going past Fort Trekker Monument. They launched their building project on Sunday last week for 3 million rand. Small church, major project. One guy came and signed a check for 3 million rand. One guy. 3 million rand. And in that unbelievable victory, a truck going up a straight road started to swerve, hit him off his bicycle, landed on top of him. I tell you, I've never seen my wife ever shaken, ever in her life. Ever shaken. But he went to go and see him in the hospital. How he's not paralyzed, I don't know. How he's not dead, I don't know. But if you saw pictures of his bicycle, you will not. It is in 1,000 pieces. The seat is broken off. The handlebars are smashed. The wheels are cracked in half. And he was underneath that thing. How he is not dead, I do not know. But we saw him there. And then Mel and I went to the accident scene. I saw my wife turn white. And said, babe, I do not know if we realize the spiritual battle. $3 million, victory, the church is going forward. Bang! You know, and I just thought the enemy nearly took him out. Friends, we must take Ephesians 6. I prayed over you every day. The sword of the Spirit. The shield of faith. The breastplate of righteousness. The helmet of salvation. Every day, guys, do not go out of your homes. You are leaders in a church that's making a difference for God. Do not underestimate the plans of the evil one.
Good, Rory.
Do not go out before you have prayed. Do not go to bed before you have prayed. We are leaders of a group of people, and we do not want the enemy to have any access. It says, friends, that the men in the book of Nehemiah, they took a sword in one hand and a trowel in the other hand, and they stood at the low places of the wall until the wall was built up. We do not allow the enemy to come into our wall in anything. And we have to fight for the values that God has given to us. We are not importing values from other churches. I believe their calls are legitimate. I believe they're playing a very real part in the city, but what they call to and what we call to are different things. We are fighting for that which God has called us to, friends. We are going to the nations. We are going to plant churches. We are going to live radical lives. We are not here to appease culture. Please listen to me. It doesn't matter how old they are, how conservative they are. I don't want to offend them by my nature, but I will offend them by the gospel. We are called to live a radical life. And it started when a guy who had Springbok surfing colors left the beach to come and plant a church, not so that we could settle down into some culture. It's not kingdom. We're going to fight for it. And finally, friends, the hands is the building of community. And may you, every time you realize you walk in, that we're going to build hand in hand. I'm reading a book now called The Second Mountain. And it says this thing. It says, most of us have bought into a radical individualism that, as Tocqueville predicted, causes us to see ourselves as self-sufficient monads and cuts each secluded self off from other secluded selves. Most of us buy into a workaholic ethos that leaves us with little time for community. Those of us in the media know that the way to generate page views is to offer Pravda-like affirmations of your tribe's moral superiority. Most of us hew to a code of privacy that leads us not to know our neighbors. Most of us live with technology that aims to reduce the friction in any encounter, and you get used to that mode of living. But community life, care for one another, is built on friction, on sticky and inefficient relationships.
So good.
We are together and all we've got is each other. Don't race in and out of meetings. We are fighting a culture that is unbelievably selfish. Church is something that you tick off, and God has told us to build a community. And so people come to these meetings and say, so what is we preaching tonight? No, preaching is just a very small part of it. Eating together, sharing together, getting out of your comfort zone, talking to somebody that you don't know. As an introvert, actually sacrificing your introvertedness. As an extrovert, learning how to listen. Just building community, sticky, inefficient relationships. One at a time. Friends, I prophesy over this church, the pen, the stories God will write, the microphone, that we would prophesy life into that which is dead. We would prophesy to the dry bones that it would live. That we would see a new sound, the new instruments raised up. We would fight for the things that God has called us to. We'd fight that the enemy doesn't touch our people. And we'll do it with sticky, inefficient relationships. One person at a time. God bless you.